Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. We are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week we read, Shannon kicked the dying man in the head. I put an arm around her waist and pulled her back. He cannot hurt you, I said. Shannon pulled away and kicked him again. Come on, I said, we need to get Lisa. She's one of them, Shannon said in between kicks. Are you sure? She's with them, she said, snarling. I put my arm around Shannon and pulled her away from the dying man. She turned to me and I let go. Her face was contorted with rage, and for a moment I was afraid she was going to attack me. After a long pause, she turned away from her former captor. I encircled her in my arms, but she remained rigid, so I let go of her. There were multiple bruises on her arms, and her face was covered in dried blood. Her right eye was puffy, and a deep purple ring encircled it. There were a series of red marks around her neck. "What did they do to you?" I asked. Shannon did not respond. My phone vibrated. Beltran. As I answered and brought the phone to my ear, I noticed Shannon looking back at the man whose body lay in the doorway. Never again, she whispered. And now? 21. I paused outside the door to the classroom, not wanting to go in. We were 10 minutes late, and my inclination was to skip it altogether. Shannon shrugged her shoulders as if to say that the decision was mine. There was a world of difference in her appearance now versus several days ago when I'd initially rescued her. Much of that was due to makeup, but it was nice to see her doing better, even though she was keeping her distance from me. The scar was scabbed over, and unfortunately, it was wide enough that I figured she'd have a hard time covering it up with makeup. Perhaps a plastic surgeon would be able to do something about it for her. Nothing would have made me happier than to skip class, but I did not want to give Beltran any additional reasons to be upset with me. He had been furious that I'd gone after Shannon alone. I opened the door and walked in. Heads turned our way, and I immediately thought better of it. Mr. Sheever, Peck said. The entire class turned their attention to us. Chris smiled and gave me a little wave. Normally, Shannon would have bristled at the attention, but she did not react. I have not seen you in some time. Have you been well? Been visiting family, I said. Well, Peck said, I'm glad you're here because I have not had a chance to follow up with you on your topic last time. Did you read the articles I sent you? I remembered that he'd given me a personal reading assignment at the end of the last class I had attended several weeks ago. Peck had sent the email, but I had never opened it. Enough had happened in the meantime that it felt like months had passed. Never got around to it, I said, sitting down beside Shannon at the back of the class. I see. Please have the reading prepared for next time. I nodded my assent and pulled out my tablet and stopped paying attention. She is looking at you again, Shannon said a few minutes later. It's time you did something about this. I looked at Chris, who rewarded me with a big, toothy smile. Forget about her, I said. She's a girl with a crush. I felt bad lying to Shannon and wondered how she would react if she learned Chris had been instrumental in her rescue. You're clearly with me, Shannon said. Why can she not see that? I rolled my eyes but did not answer. Out of sheer boredom, I finally opened the email from Peck. There were several attachments and a brief message instructing me to be ready to discuss the material during the next class. I was about to switch to something else when I noticed that this email was in my Black Brick inbox, not my school inbox. How did Peck get that email address? I looked closer and noticed that Peck had not used his school email address either, and that he was on the same email network as the rest of us from Black Brick. This was an interesting and surprising development. Coincidence indeed that he'd singled me out on questions about assassination. When class ended, Shannon was staring in the direction of Chris. Don't do it, I said. It's unnecessary. Shannon glared at me. I don't like it. A girl like that should not be interested in you. I'm trying not to be offended, I said. Please, you're an oaf, and you know it. You're lucky to have me. There is something off about this. You're the lucky one, I said, trying to sound playful, but the tension between us caused it to fall flat. She's probably just out of high school, and the last thing she needs is an agent shaking her down. I tried to not sound sarcastic as I said agent, but Shannon must have noticed because I received a curious look. I hated it when I got those looks from her. It usually meant that I was in for some uncomfortable questions later on. Mr. Shever and Miss Prosser, Peck said, referring to Shannon's alias Jennifer Prosser. Please stay. We need to talk about your absences. You don't think we work for the government? Shannon asked when Peck had turned his attention to somebody else. What proof do you have? By her tone, I could tell that she had her doubts as well. Now is not the time, I said. We'll talk about this later. Promise. Peck stood at the front of the classroom by the door as if to keep us from bolting without talking to him, which I must admit I had been thinking of doing. Not trying to sneak away, are you? Peck asked with a smile and a laugh as we approached. You will be glad you stayed. Have a seat and wait a moment. Neither of us sat while we waited for the class to empty. Thor appeared to be waiting, and I growled under my breath. Had I not been rude enough to the kid already? Most people would have taken the hint. Maybe Thor worked with Chris. I should have asked her about him. When the last student left, Peck noticed Thor and encouraged him to move along. When Thor had gone, Peck locked the door and turned around. Why did you lock the door? Shannon demanded. He knows about us, I said. Peck smiled. I see you finally read my email, Jake. I must admit I did not realize that I had emailed you from that address until it was too late. When I never heard from you on the issue, I could not decide if you missed it or just did not care. I'd thought that you would at least fake enough interest in my class to open it. I pulled out my pistol and aimed it at Professor Peck. Shannon did the same. For his part, Peck did not look surprised or threatened, but he did look at the back wall of the classroom. It seemed innocuous enough, but I wondered why his eyes went there of all places when we pointed our pistols at him. Forgive me for not trusting you, Shannon said, but I have little love for deception. Ugh, Peck said, as he sat down in the chair behind his desk. You want to do this the hard way. Isn't it evidence enough that I know your name is Jake, and that I'm on the Black Brick Network? When neither of us moved, Peck made a motion with his hand. Very well. Call Beltran and put him on speakerphone. If you know the number, I said, how about you dial? Shaking his head, Peck pulled out his phone, dialed, and set it on the desk. Henry, Beltran said, answering the call. Jeff, Peck said. I have Jake and Shannon here. They are having trouble believing they should not be holding me at gunpoint right now. Can they hear me? Yes. Jake, Shannon, disarm now. We both lowered our pistols. Beltran continued. Make it quick, Henry, and send them back. Payne just entered the bookstore, and we need to get over there. Based on his past visits, we have about an hour before he leaves. Shannon shifted, and her lips came up in a silent snarl. She still had not said much about her captivity, but I had been able to glean that Payne was the one who had tortured her. I'll keep it short. Peck smiled as he disconnected the phone. Can you put your pistols away? Thanks. I tried to keep my voice even. You have been taking a risk, I said, grilling me about assassination and soldiers. I had begun to wonder if something was up. Of course you did, Peck said. I meant for you too. I was testing you. The two of you have reached a critical point in your experience that most agents do not reach for years. Frankly, I am concerned that the stress is getting to you. Shannon, Beltran briefed me on what happened. I cannot tell you how terrible I feel, and I cannot help but feel responsible. Beltran and I recruited Martinez personally, and I oversaw his training. He was like a son to me, and to see the evil he has become capable of causes me great distress. Jake, I know the deaths of those from the train weigh on your soul. I would call you a hero if I did not know that you would find that to be a mockery of your self-deprecation. Life has not been kind to either of you, but I must say that I am proud of how you are turning out. You are both on track to be the best agents I have had, and I would hate to think that your desire to continue was waning because of events that frankly have been quite unusual. I have had agents that have never fired a shot on a mission. Already your experience has been the complete opposite of that, and neither of you have taken your oaths. I thought we worked for the government, I said. Not you. So you do, through me. What better cover than a college professor? Who would suspect a man who spends his time in an ivory tower? So who do we work for? I asked. The government, obviously. I rolled my eyes. I need to know more than that. It's the only answer you will get, Peck said. Why are you breaking cover? Shannon asked. We're not even agents yet. We could easily ruin what you have spent years developing. The commitment I've seen from you two has convinced me that I needed to assure you that the sacrifices you have made have a purpose. The news has been calling us terrorists, I said. What does the press know? Peck asks. Why do you care what bloggers say? The circumstances were beyond our control. You did not put a bomb on that train and took great pains to get it off. We work outside the system. Why do you think that we have to keep our connections a secret? Nobody, not even Beltran, knows how we get our funds and who provides us with orders. So what we do is not technically legal, Shannon asked. Peck smiled. It's a dark gray area, which is why nobody can know about it. When the government takes actions beyond the bounds of the Constitution, the very freedoms of the people are threatened, I said, quoting the subtitle of the textbook that Peck had written for our class. Using my own words to condemn me, Peck smiled. Sacrifices must be made. I snorted. I feel guilty about the blood on my hands. Do you? That's perfectly natural, Peck said, and I would be worried if you did not. I bear part of that blame and will do my best to help you deal with it. But this is the sacrifice your country asks of you. Your experiences, though terrible, have opened your eyes to the real world. It is ugly and violent. Death can come suddenly, without rhyme or reason. Evil people conspire to take this country apart a piece at a time. We fight to keep that from happening. By stealing financial records or spying on companies, I said. Our actions transcend corporate greed and profit. Peck held my gaze. You need to decide what you believe. He looked at his watch. I need to be going, and so do you. Think about it. He picked up his bag and left. We were halfway home when Shannon broke the silence that had dominated most of our walk. No doubt her reticence towards me also had something to do with it. Part of it was due to the open environment we were in, and for the last, we were still dealing with the shock of learning Peck was at our head. No wonder why Beltran had been so insistent we make it to class today. He had probably known what Peck was going to do. You must admit that his cover is very good, Shannon said. I would never have suspected him of being our boss. This smells, I said. I trust Beltran and Peck to see the big picture. Do you? What about the innocent people that have been hurt by our methods? I asked. Payne bombed that train, Shannon said. Stop blaming yourself. 11 of the dead were children. Beltran knew Payne would be following Lauren and did not tell us. Beltran cannot tell the future any better than you or me. I thought about how Tom had shot at the police during our escape the other day. Would the President or Congress condone our recent actions? Of course not, Shannon said. That's why Peck called this a dark gray area. The trail of bodies behind us continues to grow, I said. You need to get past this, Shannon said. I did not respond because I could tell I was getting nowhere with her. Right before our conversation with Peck, she had expressed to me her doubts. Now that Peck had said his piece, she was not concerned any longer. Whatever had been bothering her was no longer an issue. Peck had managed to allay Shannon's concerns, but mine were continuing to grow.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.